Welcome to Beyond Blathers, the podcast where we dive deeper into the insects, fish, and fossils you can find in Animal Crossing New Horizons. I'm Sophia Osborne.
And I'm Olivia DeBercier.
And if you want to support the show, you can check out our merch store at etsy.com/shop/beyondblathers. You can also join our Patreon to receive a monthly sticker and print in the mail from Olivia.
So today, Sophia is coming to us from California for today's episode. So shout out to her for taking time out of her trip to talk about fish with us today.
Yeah, I am coming live from my hotel bed using my AirPods. So if I sound bad, that's why. I just like could not get any of this setup to work. But yeah, I'm in Santa Barbara right now with my dad, and we also went up to Morro Bay and did some of Big Sur, which was super cool. I got to see sea otters in the wild for the first time in Morro Bay, which was really, really exciting. Like they're so cute and just like exactly how they are in like GIFs and stuff is how they are in real life. Like we saw them with their pups and they're just like wrapped up in the kelp and like cleaning the pups and cuddling with them, and they were just like using their feet and paddling around the bay. It was so cute. We saw them a lot. We also saw elephant seals at San Simeon up the Big Sur, which was really exciting. We saw so many of them out on the beach in their colony, and like some of the males were fighting with each other, and it was very exciting as well. And yeah, other things, like we saw sea lions, harbor seals, seen lots of birds like egrets, and I don't know, today we saw some American coots, which we have here as well, but I don't know, it's still exciting.
Coots are really cute, so
they're very cute, and I feel like I got to see them like a lot closer than I do at home, which was cool. And yeah, oh, and also brown pelicans they have here. So,
ooh, that would have been fun.
Yeah. Very, very good wildlife.
I loved the videos of the sea otters. They were just like, they were just doing exactly what you would expect from sea otters. Like, they were just being adorable, and they had little pups, and just, I love those videos you sent me. It was so cute.
There was one who had a new pup that was really tiny, which was so cute. And there was also one who had a pup that was like almost as big as she was, but she was still like insisting on holding on to it and like trying to like, it looked like a like teenager who was like, "Mom, stop like brushing my
You're
hair."
Embarrassing me.
Yeah, that was the vibe. It was really funny.
Oh.
Yeah, they're actually just so cute. So, so, so cute. I don't know. If you live somewhere where you get to see them all the time, I'm so jealous of you.
Oh, yeah. That's just amazing. That's the dream. Like, I can't even see river otters most of the time. Like, a river otter is, like, so exciting for me. I can't imagine sea otters.
It's so funny because when I sent my mom a picture of the sea otters, she said, "Oh, yeah, I've seen those in Horseshoe Bay," which is where we live, in Vancouver. And I was like, "No, you haven't." And I was like, "You've probably seen river otters." And then I sent her a picture of that, and she's like, "Oh yeah, that's what I saw." And like, to me, they look so different. But I guess people are just sort of like, "Oh, it's an otter and it's in the sea, so it must be a sea otter," but it's not, and they look really different, and river otters are not even like a quarter as cute, I have to say. So
yeah, I remember I used to do like otter talks at the zoo, and we just had river otters, but I would like, you know, tell people the difference between the sea otters and the river otters, and I would like quiz them, and I'd show them like a skull that was colossal and like the size of a baseball, and that was obviously the sea otter skull, and then a river otter skull, which was always very slim, and people had such a hard time telling them apart. But I was like, okay, one of these is huge. Like, I don't know that I was judging my audience too much, obviously, but I was just like, I don't know, you guys don't see this.
Yeah, like sea otters are so, they're round and fluffy, and river otters are like sleek and slim, and
they're very like fairy.
Yeah, they're very fairy and weaselly, and anyway,
I mean, both are very cute, but definitely sea otters.
Sea otters are, yeah, cuter. On a different level. But definitely go listen to our sea otter episode if you haven't yet. And it was sort of a whole series where we did like kelp and sea urchins and sea otters.
That was so fun. I loved
it. Yeah, that was really fun. And I would recommend it. Anyway, let's get into this week's episode on the pike.
Yeah, this is a freshwater fish. And I kind of wanted to talk about freshwater fish because lately I've been really into theming my weeks. And this week I talked to my students in the lab I teach about freshwater fish. So we're just in a fishy mood. I do think I really dissed them, though, in the lab, like freshwater fish in general, because we have to talk about Alberta's freshwater fish, which aren't, in my opinion, the most exciting things ever. However, I do actually really like pike. I think they're really weird looking, and I wanted to learn more about them because I do get to see them in the summer, and I do get excited when I see pike.
Yeah, I have no opinion on them. I've never thought about them before in my life, so I'm interested to learn about them.
Well, they're one of the very few things you can find in the water that's like larger than a beetle. So I do, they're a little bit like a little sea monster when you see them in a lake because they can get pretty big, which we'll get into.
Awesome. Well, before we jump into it, let's see what Blathers has to say. So if you bring a pike to Blathers, he'll say, "The pike has always reminded me a bit of salmon, although a pike can grow rather larger. These brutes can grow to over 4 feet long, sometimes much over. Hoo-hoo! It is carnivorous and preys not only on other fish, but also mammals and some waterfowl. If I were to meet one in the water, I would have a most difficult time keeping my wits about me."
Well, me too, Blathers. They are kind of intimidating looking. I kind of compare them almost to like a barracuda in their shape, because they're like this weird long body with this almost duck-like upturned snout. Like they just, yeah, it's a very like shovel-shaped, or maybe not shovel. Yeah, I would stick with the duck-like face. So it does give them that kind of barracuda spear quality about them. They also have these really pretty spots all over their body, as well as like this sort of golden glittery coloration to them. When they're swimming in the water, you get this really nice reflection off of them. So I do think they're kind of pretty, apart from the fact that they have pretty scary looking teeth. The teeth are recurved, much like something you'd see in like snake fangs or something. So they sort of have this curve to them so that when they grab prey, the prey can't slip out quite so easily. So the teeth really add to this villainous quality about them.
Oh yeah, I'm looking at photos of them and they just have like, yeah, a very long face.
Yeah, they're definitely very unique looking compared to other fish.
And sort of, they sort of have a pouty, yeah, like a duck face, like Instagram filter.
I was just gonna say that.
Yeah.
Like, no. Like the puffy pillow lips.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, I can see it for sure.
They do look very snaky, like their coloration too and their shininess. Yeah, I can see
that.
Yeah,
it's really cool. Yeah, so you can find these pretty much throughout the Northern Hemisphere, both in Europe, North America, and Asia. While they're largely freshwater fish, they can occasionally be found in more salty or brackish waters. You can also find them in Lake Baikal, I hope I pronounced that right, which is a super cool lake in Siberia where you can also find the world's only species of freshwater seal. So a fun fact there. It's a huge lake and I really want to go there one day, except also I don't really want to go to Siberia. So not sure how I'll get there, but you know, the idea of it seems cool. There are a few species of pike in the world. Pike exist within a genus called Esox, which is a very like sci-fi sounding genus to me. And in this genus, there are about 6 or 7 species of fish. So that includes the pike as well as some other things like pickerel and something called the muskellunge. Again, not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. Muskellunge? It's the strangest spelled word. But in terms of the pike specifically, we have the northern pike, which lives in Europe and North America. There's also the southern pike of Europe, the Amur pike found in the Amur River in Asia, and the Aquitanian pike of France. And that one's pretty genetically similar to the northern pike. So for a long time, it was also considered just like a subspecies of northern pike. But I think that's changed as of 2014. So basically, we have, you know, pretty small number of species here, but they all pretty well look the same. They've got this like long body shape, the snout. They just have some differences, I mean, physically, more so in their patterning. And of course, their genetics. I do disagree a little bit with Blathers when he says that they remind him of salmon. Like, to me, they don't look anything like salmon, but actually, they are somewhat closely related to salmon on the family tree. So Blathers was onto something here.
I don't know, Blathers. I don't know if Blathers has seen a salmon.
Maybe not. Maybe he's talking about, like, when the salmon are in their, like, breeding coloration and they get that crazy face. The snouty face. Maybe that's what he's thinking of.
They do get that kind of snarly, long face. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, though. I think both of us are far too familiar with what salmon look like.
Yeah.
So, you know, as you can probably tell from this genus's range, pike are definitely a cold water species, and they're actually able to tolerate temperatures as low as 0.1 degrees Celsius. So, essentially, unless the water is just turning to ice, the pike can live in it. So they're just incredibly tolerant.
That's really amazing.
Yeah, it's cool, and it allows them to get, you know, up into Alaska. Of course, as I said, Siberia. Just, they're tough. Pike also have a number of different names depending on where you are. So where I live, we just call them pike. But other English names have included jackfish, slough sharks, or slough snakes. Some places call them gators because they kind of have like an alligator snout, or slimer, which is a really like fun name. I just kind of want to call them slimers now, even though they don't look that slimy to me, but whatever. I was also reading the Canadian report on pike, where they have like a whole French section, and one of their nicknames for pike is bec de canard, which means duck beak. So I thought that was kind of cute. One sec.
Yes, Max?
So my partner, who does a lot of fishing, just came in to interrupt me and say that, wait, why don't you say it?
Well, they're incredibly slimy, and they're really hard to hold. Like, their scales are, at least from what I can remember, pretty smooth. And but like, if you try to pick them out of water, they're just really slimy. And if they're bigger, if you catch one that's fairly large, like about 40 inches, they're pretty strong fish, so they'll just like squirm out of your hands.
Well, thank you, Max, for being our impromptu pike expert.
Thank you.
Max, likes to do a lot of fishing in Albertan lakes, which are just absolutely filled with pike.
He came in with a fact check.
Yeah, he was like, no, they are slimy. Well, there we go. Some hands-on experience. While I have been present for lots of this fishing, I am usually distracted by bugs, so I haven't done that. Anyway, so for today, I'd like to focus on the ecology of the northern pike. The northern pike seems to have distinct genetic populations around the world, so while at the moment we consider them all to be from the same species, we're likely to maybe see some new subspecies defined as we get updates in genetic techniques. So looking forward to that. It seems also that through genetic analysis, we've been able to find out that northern pike originated in North America, and they migrated over the Bering Land Bridge between today's Alaska and Russia. And they did that, of course, many millions of years ago into Eurasia. That land bridge is now covered in water today, but back when the sea level was lower, it was a very interesting, cool highway of species dispersal. I've talked about it before because I'm just like, I don't know, I'm such a little fan of the Bering Land Bridge. I get so excited when it comes up.
Yeah, I didn't really realize that freshwater species would have dispersed through the land bridge, but that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, when you have millions of years, you can take your time. Just like slowly going up rivers and checking out new places. Just because they're confined to the water doesn't mean that they can't travel. And of course, like sometimes fish eggs like travel, you know, a little bit through strange channels. They can get picked up.
Yeah, and so I guess Blathers and also Max mentioned that they can get really big. How big do they, you know, actually get?
Yeah, they can be like an average length of about 40 to 55 centimeters or 16 to 22 inches. But some of the largest pike have been up to 5 feet long. So, you know, these are huge fish and like 5 feet long, but then also imagine like incredibly thick. Like they've just got a real belly to them when they're that big. So they can get pretty large. And I've definitely seen ones that are like, you know, maybe 2.5 feet long. Maybe that's exaggerating because of course I'm looking into the water and things look kind of magnified, but big enough that I'm like, oh, wow, that's like a large animal that's swimming under my paddle board. I'm not going to really like jump in there right now.
And what kind of like habitat do they live in?
Pike will usually be found in slower moving rivers and lakes. They're really flexible, like pretty much any freshwater habitat, but pike in particular love a place where there's a lot of like underwater vegetation that they can kind of disappear into. They're really hard to see sometimes because they're very countershaded with this dark colored greenish topside and then a light belly. And then the spots especially help them blend into the mucky underwater scene. When they're young, they've also got kind of stripy patterns on them, and that helps to break up their silhouettes. So they really like a place where they're not entirely exposed, especially when they're hunting. You can find them in like the middle of the lake when they're just hanging out in the middle of the day. But, you know, around the evening and the morning, when they're most active and looking for prey, they're going to be in those little vegetation underwater forests.
Right. And so they are predators then?
Yeah, and they're really good predators. They're ambush predators. So when you look at their body, they've got these, their dorsal fin and their anal fin. So the fin that's like on their belly, those are pushed further back, closer to their back tail. And that allows them to jet forward really quickly. So they've just got this very like hydrodynamic shape, and that allows them to accelerate really quickly and grab their prey. They also have really large eyes, and these eyes are able to help them see in very murky water, which is good for places like Albertan lakes, which are not always the clearest looking water. And I think their eyes may be why I find them like quite aesthetically appealing, because it gives them this sort of cartoonish characterized quality that I really enjoy. The eyes are also quite yellow, so they really pop out at you. They aren't just using their eyes to find prey. They do have some sensory spots on the bottom jaw that also assist them in the detection of things that are around them. But yeah, their big eyes are pretty characteristic of shallow water predatory fish.
And are they mostly eating other fish?
Mostly. Though, if there aren't many fish around, they'll eat invertebrates or pretty much any other kind of meat that they can find in the water. There's definitely a lot of reports of them eating things like frogs, tadpoles, sometimes even small birds like ducklings, and the odd small reptile in the water. So, you know, a garter snake or whatever. They're not necessarily going to turn their nose up at that. Baby pike as well, when they're quite little, they will eat zooplankton and invertebrates. You know, like many predators, pike are opportunistic. They'll eat whatever they can, whenever they can, and they eat a lot. They're just known to be extremely voracious predators in that way. And that's possibly why I get nervous about, like, you know, when I'm out on the water sticking my toes into the water in the evening, because, you know, it's not like they could necessarily take a toe off, but I just don't really want to be bit by one. I think it would just be really alarming, and I don't think I'd enjoy that.
What about their life cycle? What does that look like?
So once the ice melts and the water temperature reaches, a very tropical 6 degrees Celsius, the pike will leave their still water body homes in lakes and ponds, and they'll make their way up the streams or lakes that feed into this winter home. They're essentially looking for a place where there's lots of underwater vegetation, like a flooded section of land or a pool near the stream, or even like a marshy area. And this is where they go and congregate with other members of their species to breed. So they really are looking for a place to lay their eggs where the eggs aren't at risk of being washed away and they can be nice and hidden from predators. So that's why they're looking for such a vegetated area. Once they find a place like this, the female pike drops her eggs into the grasses or reeds that cover the pool bottom, and the males fertilize them. Then the parents leave the eggs to develop. Once the eggs hatch, the larval pikes swim upwards until they hit a surface, so usually some kind of plant material like a stick or a log. And then here they'll stop. At this point, they'll utilize something in their face called a nasal cement gland, which is such a weird name, but it's very accurate because it's just this gland that exudes a glue that helps them attach their face to that surface. And the reason they do this is they just need a place to hang out safely where they can take time to absorb their yolk sac, which at this point is still attached to them. So they'll do this for give or take a week. And they also want to be higher up in the water than where they hatched because they need a bit more oxygen. And there's going to be more available oxygen higher up in the water column. What's really cool to me about all this too is that the larval fish are absorbing oxygen right through their skin at this point. They're really quite small, so they can do this, and they can just absorb that oxygen until their gills develop a little bit further and can be utilized in breathing. These baby pike grow really quickly and are the size of a pencil by the end of the warm season. Like many fish species, female pikes, when they're adults, tend to be larger than the males. They also tend to live a little bit longer. But in general, pike are relatively long-lived, with some lucky individuals making it up to 30 years old.
Wow, that's very impressive.
Yeah.
And it sounds like they're doing pretty well in the wild. Is that the case?
Yeah, for the most part, they aren't a species of particular conservation concern around the world. But of course, this is a freshwater fish, and by definition, we are seeing tremendous wetland loss all around the world. And that decreases available habitat for pike, especially critical breeding habitats like those marshes and shallow pools. For the moment, though, they are doing much better than many fish species out there. In fact, they actually are characterized as invasive in some places. They're a really popular sport fish. They can look really big and flashy and put up a solid fight when they're hooked. So some anglers have, in the past and also the present, taken them and put them in lakes where they weren't before in order to fish them. Pike are really well equipped to populate non-native habitats because they're super flexible. They can tolerate extremely cold water, they can do even warmer water, and they're used to living in places with limited oxygen content. So even if it's not a very oxygen-rich environment, which is something that often limits fish, they can do well, or do okay at least. All that said, though, pike don't appear to be one of those fish that invasive species people are super worried about, because at least in Canada, a lot of what we see in terms of pike being in places we haven't seen them before look mostly to be range expansions. So it's not that, there's something in particular spreading them. It's just that the fish themselves are moving through water to new water bodies. So arguably, is this fish actually invasive, or are we just seeing ecosystem change, which is natural and to be expected?
Yeah, how do you introduce pike affect a lake?
There seem to be some reports that suggest that pike could affect the populations of other fish by both eating them or competing with other fish predators, though the evidence seems rather weak that these impacts are harmful on a large scale. So I'm certainly skeptical of it. I think sometimes invasive species people just don't want animals to be in a place where they weren't before. And there's not always really good evidence that it's a problem. So I think that might be the case for pike, although I say I think, and I might, because, you know, I'm sure there's certain populations that are like a big problem in a particular lake. So invasive species ecology is very complicated and depends on the location. But, you know, you might live in a place where pike, if people catch pike, they're required to kill them, or there might be some sort of policy in your local area. But if you ever go fishing, it's important to check those out.
Well, it's nice to hear about, a conservation story that's not like, this is like an extremely deadly invasive species that's taking over like every waterway near you and like killing everything there.
Totally. That being said, of course, you know, don't release pike into new water bodies. You know, if you caught something there, release it in the same place, or don't release it at all.
Good general
Better
advice.
Safe than sorry. Yeah. But yeah, pike are really cool. And like, people love to fish them. They're just a really feisty, you know, energetic animal. And I always like seeing them. They're like Alberta's little tiny caimans or little tiny crocodiles that are very safe to be around.
Well, thank you so much, Olivia. It was fun to do a freshwater fish. And thanks everyone so much for listening. If you want to support the show, you can join our Patreon to get exclusive rewards, and make sure to check out the sticker sheets on our Etsy shop.
You can also follow us on Instagram and TikTok.
Tune in next time to learn more about the insects, fish, and fossils you can find in Animal Crossing: New Horizons. Bye!
Bye!